Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 8th day of September, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is, it is time to take the field. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. And by the way, Paleo Hebrew is not Yiddish, and Yiddish is not Hebrew. Jews speak Yiddish. Do not confuse the two. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cymru and Beth. We will take callers later on in the broadcast. If you do call in, please remember to be courteous to our other attendees as to your language, and also be careful with other callers who may be on the line as to not talk over them. We are in the question and answer mode, which means all new people coming onto the call will be muted automatically until such time as you notify me to be in the queue for comments. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And we do recommend you check the Daily Mail page from time to time as we try to update it with the latest news items. Also, the Listen Live page is where we keep the schedule for broadcasts. Especially in light of the fact that we are in the end times, things are changing quickly, and we will post sometimes emergency messages or guests. I have several guests who may be on in the very near future. So we're asking you to check it from time to time, especially as we're also running out of time on a daily basis. I'm getting calls quite often during the day, so I don't have the time to email everything like we used to do. So I'm going to require people to come to the website to check for mail and scheduling and such things as that. To my kinsmen out there, à mes parents français, bienvenue à l'appel. À mis parientes españoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. Zu meinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen beim Anruf. All of them are basically saying, welcome to my kinsmen from the different lands, different languages, welcome to the call. So, that being said, we're going to read from Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my Elohim God, meaning you are in authority or superior to me. That's what's wrong with the white race today, or at least the remnants of the Abrahamic identity people. They have walked away from our Heavenly Father and His law. You can't separate the two, folks. I don't know what it takes to get that through your heads, but His law and He Himself are inseparable. So when you violate His law, if you shun His ways, you're mocking the living God. I hope you know that. So again, Psalm 143:10, teach me to do your will, for you are my Elohim God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness, or some people would put righteousness in there. And again, how do our enemies, the Jews, get away with what they get away with? Is because we have walked away from who we are. We have forsaken our identity, and we've accepted the ways of the world, and we have allowed them to usurp our authority. Yahweh put Adam on this earth to maintain the earth, to keep the garden, so to speak. And we've allowed these usurpers to come in and abscond with that authority. So they came at us with this Babylonian court system and Babylonian legislative system, and put it upon us, and we walked away from the lawgiver that we've had all along, which is our Heavenly Father. These usurpers have no authority over you and I. Now, just before airtime, Ralph up there in Canada sent me a note that said that John Moore in a recent broadcast said it's time to fix bayonets. For those of you like myself who have been in the military, you know what the term fix bayonets is talking about. If you're getting ready to go into combat, there are times when the commander will tell you to fix bayonets. That means to take the bayonet out of your holster or wherever you keep it and put it on the end of your rifle because you're going to need it. Now, in World War I, they used them much more than they did in World War II. Most of the time, bayonets were used for prisoner control. Basically, it turns your rifle into a spear. So bayonets were to keep the prisoners under control without the use of ammunition. In combat itself, the bayonet is not used all that much except for defense. If you run out of ammunition, obviously, a bayonet on the end of your rifle is better than nothing. So fixed bayonets is just a term for military guys. It says it's time for action. It's time to defend yourself. It's time to circle the wagons because the enemy has made it quite clear that they're not going to stop until you and I are dead. And our families are dead, by the way. They've proven that. Just today, I was reading several reports where people have gone to hospitals and the hospitals literally are ignoring the wishes of the patient and their families, and they are using protocols, including vaccination, to their discretion. Now, years ago, when my son was in the hospital, I went through something similar to this, where they did not want to do the natural things. The head pediatrician who was in charge of my son's health care was very adamant in doing everything by the, quote, standards. But some of the younger interns and younger doctors, especially those from other countries, they were very receptive of using holistic methods. But this, I believe him to be Jewish, pompous ass, didn't want to hear about that. He wanted to use the cut, burn, and poison method of modern medicine. So what we're finding out is this is becoming much worse than even when I was in. I got them to back off when I threatened to take my son out of the hospital against medical recommendations, which they think that's a very serious thing, meaning I'm going to have my ass hanging out in midair because I go against my doctor's recommendations. Well, guess what? As I told them back then, I don't give a damn what your doctor recommendations are. You're hurting my son. It's better he comes home with us and heals and gets holistic treatment than to stay here in this barbaric hospital where all you know how to do is cut them open and do test after test after test. So eventually they backed off and we got a new person in charge, and the new person in charge had no problem with what we wanted to do. So it was just the asshole Jew that we had that was had given us trouble. We're coming into a period of time of the year in the fall where it's harvest time, which is near the Feast of Tabernacles. It depends on what calendar you go by when the feast days actually are. That's why we don't dwell on that a whole lot during this program, because each local community of Israelites can do whatever they do there. It's obviously not that big a deal to the Father, or we would not have this confusion. So it's a symbolic thing. Obviously, in ancient times, it pointed to the coming of Messiah. And as our good friend used to tell us on the shows, it's also a dress rehearsal for things to come. And most of those things to come have already happened. But we are in the end times, and it certainly would not hurt our people at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles to remember the importance of that feast and also remember the soldier's ransom. And I have in front of me here a very short sermon prepared by Bertrand Comparé, taken from his book called Your Heritage, and it was turned into a PDF file by Clifton Emmaheiser, Teaching Ministries out of Ohio. I had the privilege to meet Clifton. He has since passed over, but he was quite a character. Quite a character indeed. But anyway, so we're in that period of time, very important, because this is also the period of time during the year when Messiah's birth came. It wasn't December. So a lot of important things are going on. It's the biggest and most important feast of the year. It's when our young men perform the soldier's ransom with a body of elders and believers. It is also a significant time for the enemy because we're coming up on the anniversary of 9/11, the horrific Israeli attack against the United States, and they coached it in ways to make it look like it was Arabs, but we all know that that's bullshit. Just like they tried to coach the attack on the United States ship, USS Liberty, back in the 1960s when they tried to sink it and murder all of the sailors on it. And at that time, they also wanted to blame the Israelis so that we would go to war with them. So the Jews don't change their tactics. They count on us having a very short memory and moving on to the latest movie, sports event, or pornography on TV, so that we'll forget. Some of us do forget, but some of us don't forget. And the fact that the Jews are not our friends, they have never been our friends, they are our enemies, they've been our enemies for thousands of years. It's a shame that our people are so damn stupid today and don't study history, they don't think, they don't look into anything. They just take whatever that electronic toilet called a television tells them and wonder why things aren't working out. Now, again, the evidence is absolutely astounding that this serum that they're sticking into people's arms and calling it a vaccine, it is not a vaccine. It is an experimental dosage of a serum that is doing tremendous harm. Okay, tremendous harm. I don't know why anybody would put this crap in your body or allow anybody to put this crap in your body. Now, I saw a memo that was sent to me by one of our brothers here in northern Florida. Supposedly, and I have not verified this, but supposedly the governor of Kentucky is basically cheering on the use of the National Guard in Kentucky to help with the vaccination program. Well, if that is true, he is a traitor and a murderer. And anybody in the National Guard or in any uniform who assists any bureaucrat, whether it's governor or at the federal level, in putting this poison in our bodies, they have abrogated their right to wear that uniform. Do you know that? I don't give a damn if it's law enforcement, sheriff's department, or military. They have abrogated their right to wear that uniform. They have no authority whatsoever. They are nothing more than thugs and murderers dressing up like police, sheriff, or military personnel. No different than the nurses and the doctors administering this poison have abrogated any rights that they might have. They are nothing more than camouflaged murderers. Simple as that, folks. As it Ralph said, John Moore, also known as the Liberty Man, says it's time to fix bayonets. That's why I picked the title for today. It's time to take the field. Because we've made the analogy that if this were a football game, the enemy has been on the field running up and down and scoring touchdowns when our team is still sitting their asses on the bench and have not entered the game. Well, it's time to get into the field and give resistance to the enemy. whatever form it takes, that's up to you and the Father above. But resistance is demanded at this point. They are murdering children. They are murdering mothers. They are murdering grandmothers and grandfathers. They are murdering friends and family members. Murder. It's not accidental. It's not even iatrogenic, because there is no even semblance of science or medicine behind this. It is pure rhetoric, fear porn, and murder. Call a spade a spade. Stop with the kissing of the asses of those around us because they don't like what we say. Too bad. So again, the damages being done by this are amounting, even within my own circle of friends and family. The people harmed by this is growing. I just still can't believe anybody with a brain would put this shit in their bodies. I just don't get it. I'm sorry if I'm stepping on toes, but folks, why would you trust anything coming out of Washington, D.C.? Or the CDC, or the WHO, or NIH, or any of these corporate-run criminal enterprises. Why would you do it? Now, I've got family, very close family, that are fighting for their jobs right now because they're refusing this poison. And half of my children, three of my boys are in the positions right now, this week. One of them has already been laid off. The other one may get laid off. And the other one is in the process of fighting. So three of my six children are fighting for their livelihoods over this stupidity. I have a daughter who's recovering from surgery who has had one or two of the jabs and has sworn not to allow any more to enter her body because of what it did to her. And I have other family members who have also sworn not to get this jab. So the battle lines are drawn. End of the age, mark of the beast time, whatever you want to call it, whether you think this is literally the mark of the beast or not, really, it doesn't make any difference. Okay? Effectively, what they're doing matches what the mark, as in the book of Revelation, is described. It matches it perfectly. Okay? So pay the hell attention, folks. Pay attention. Now, I wanted to read a quote because I believe, anyway, it is very apropos. This is by Henri Bergson, Bergson. We would pronounce it Henry, but it's Henri Bergson. Fortunately, some are born with spiritual immune systems that sooner or later give rejection to the illusory worldview grafted upon them from birth through social conditioning. They begin sensing that something is amiss and start looking for answers. Inner knowledge and anomalous outer experiences show them a side of reality others are oblivious to. And so begins their journey of awakening. Each step of the journey is made by following the heart instead of following the crowd. And by choosing knowledge, or you could say truth, over the veils of ignorance. You're living that quote by Henri Bergson. Okay, you're living it. Spiritual immune systems. Yahweh's people have spiritual immunity. We have the little voice that speaks to us. We have the gut feelings, if you will, or this thing, the quote says, listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. Listen to that inner voice that's saying, they're lying. I like to give the story about when I was in Virginia helping my family there get their house ready for sale and helping them extricate a demoness from hell that was living in their house. That's when this whole COVID bullshit scenario hit. So I was a long way from home. And I saw that piece of shit called Anthony Fauci's face on television. And the very first time I saw him and heard him speak, I said, he's a lying sack of manure. Well, how do you know that? I said, I can just tell you that frickin' guy is a liar. I can tell by his looks, his body language, the language he uses. Everything about that individual was evil. And nothing since then has proved otherwise. Everything has proved that what I said was 100% true. When the woman Birx, B-I-R-X, when she got up there next to him and opened up her yap, she was just as evil and just as deceiving, just as much a criminal as Fauci. And all of the people on stage with those two criminals are guilty by complicity, including Donald J. Trump, who everybody thinks is some white knight going to ride in on a horse and save us. Really? Let me know how that works out for you, folks. As the one guy put out a meme, there's nobody coming to save us, save Yahshua HaMashiach. Okay? The anointed one. You people better pay attention to what that means. Messiah in the ancient Hebrew, Christos in the Greek, all mean the same thing. The anointed one. And then go back and read Malachi chapter 4. Okay? You're looking for the wrong area for your salvation. If you think it's going to come out of Washington, D.C., you're woefully mistaken. If you think it's coming from any political party or political process, you are woefully mistaken. It's time to fix bayonets, men. And I pray to God you all have rifles with bayonets. Because it's time to defend our families. We have an enemy who has infiltrated our country, infiltrated the media, infiltrated the medical establishment, infiltrated the halls of government, and infiltrated the financial sector. Okay, and on top of that, these corporations are a part of this communist insurgency. Make no mistake about it. They are part of it. Okay, so we have an enemy who has infiltrated us. They are killing people in our society. Yahweh has not given a green light for the Ezekiel 37 army to rise up and go after him just yet. I don't know what he's waiting for, unless it's to punish the weak and the faithless. Now, we've talked about that. A lot of what's happening right now is punishing those without faith. That would be Yahweh's plan. Just like he condemned Peter when he went after the guard, and Peter took his sword and tried to chop the man's head off. Now, Yahshua did not condemn him for having a sword. He didn't even condemn him, really, for trying to take the man's head off. He condemned him for interfering with his plan. Halagos in the Greek. Logos, where we get the word logic. Logos, his plan, okay? Now, if his plan includes this insanity that we see going on, it only fits that that plan is to eliminate those people in mankind who stand against his word, who stand against him, the truth, justice on this earth, okay? is it not fitting that Yahweh would take him out of the way? Isn't that what the prophet said would happen at this time? Did he not say, I will cleanse the house of Jacob Israel before the final and great days? Yeah. He's cleansing the white race of all of the shills, all of the cucks, all of the soy boys, all of the government worshipers, which is identical to idol worship. He's calling them out. They're going down for the jab. Let them. Or as one of my friends in Western Canada said recently, he's a former military guy and a spook. He said, I offer to take him down in my car. And I sort of laughed. I said, yeah, that's not a bad idea. If these automatons and retards can't figure out yet that the government is nothing but a bunch of lying sacks of manure who are all about making money for their Jewish handlers, if you can't figure that out, maybe you deserve to die. And they will most certainly be glad to do it for you. Just go down there and get the jab. It'll take care of itself. Whereas Yahweh's people will avoid it like the plague. You wouldn't put that crap in your body if they put a gun to your head. I know I wouldn't. But see, they don't need to put a gun to anybody's head. Look at the lines of people lining up for this garbage. Now, the good news is Yahweh's people are starting to awaken. And believe it or not, they're starting to grow some stones in their sacks, especially the boys. And they're starting to learn how to be men again, surprisingly. And even some of the ladies are starting to show signs of testosterone. And I see a lot of them going to school board meetings. I just saw our good friend Catherine Zips, who has a radio show, or I should say a YouTube show out of Colorado. And she just interviewed a young lady who has a background in law as a, I believe, a lawyer. And she's running for governor of Colorado. And she is strong constitutionalist and individual rights. And she is absolutely 100% against the jab. So, and her name, I wrote it down, but I don't seem to see it anywhere. Oh, I'm not sure how you pronounce this. It looks like Neuschwanger, Neuschwanger. So it looks like it could be either Dutch or German. Neuschwanger. Danielle Neuschwanger in Colorado. But anyway, if you look up Christine Zips, Zipps, on YouTube. She just did the interviews and give a lot of kudos to Danielle for taking a stand. And see, this is what happens. Also, Amanda Vollmer up in Canada, Dr. Amanda Vollmer, had put out an interview saying it's time for us to figure alternatives to the hospital system, which is excellent because I don't go to anything right now. I don't go to the eye doctor. I don't go to the dentist. I don't go to the clinics. I don't go to the hospitals. I refuse. If my teeth fall out, they fall out. If I go blind, I go blind. If I die, I die. So what? But I'm figuring out how to do things holistically or not at all. That's just the way it is. I'm not going to go into their system, especially now that I know they killed my cousin. They killed my brother's very best friend. They killed my nephew's best friend in his 40s. So that's right in the immediate family. Three people we know that were murdered, okay, by these assholes. Why in the world would I subject myself to what these douchebags in these hospitals are doing? And the vernacular I'm using is a little bit rough. I apologize if there's people easily triggered out there, but I'm just tired. It's almost time to go to the field with fixed bayonets. They're murdering us. and we've been allowing them to get away with it. I have a feeling Yahweh is going to give the green light for going after these sons of bitches in the very near future. So we got to start thinking like warriors, like lions. And that means we can't be pussyfooting around. We can't be worried about people's sensitivities or language and all that other garbage. It's war. We're at war. It's time to focus on being lions again, guys. You're at war, and it's time for armed resistance to protect your own, okay? To protect your own. Let me just check real quick here before I get to my next item. I want to see what these... Again, I don't typically check the chat because it just takes too much time with this software I've got. So I apologize if anybody's trying to reach me that way. It's better if you have my phone to send me a text on my phone. And Ella, thank you for letting me know about the sound quality, by the way. Yeah, the Jews, they always try to pretend to be us. Yep, and they're drinking our children's blood and the adrenochrome. You notice they always come up with some Latin term or some euphemism for the evil that they do, like, you know, children's blood, adrenochrome. Why don't you say they're sucking children's blood? They always get something that tries to sound innocuous when it's actually talking about some satanic and hedonistic thing that they're doing. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, okay, very good. Let's see. Yep. Oh, guest 1488. I actually had a Harper's Ferry rifled musket, 58 caliber. That's a big one. I got a 50 caliber black powder rifle, but 58 caliber is even bigger. And it looks like a garbage can coming out of the barrel of that thing. And it has a bayonet with it. Mine does not have the bayonet, but it's fun to shoot. If you've never shot black powder rifle, it's a lot of fun. You should try it. You have to be careful, but it's a lot of fun. All right. Now, again, since we're in the time zone, very close to the Feast of Tabernacles, we're also coming up on the 11th of this month, which is a satanic period of time. We need to be on our guard at all times. So one of the things about the soldier's ransom, it required a half a shekel of silver, and just the other day one of our brethren had taken and calculated out what it would be in today's dollars, and because of inflation it's gone up quite a bit. Years ago it used to be approximately $2 when I first started talking about it. Today he calculates it's around $6, but Yahweh wanted the amount paid to be very small. It's a symbolic gesture to take the soldier's ransom and use it for some benefit of our people or Yahweh's work as your ransoms. In other words, you're ransoming your soul as a soldier in the service of the king, and he wanted the price to be very small so that the least amongst our men could easily afford to ransom himself. So you get the point, right? It's not a money-making thing. It's a symbolic thing. But again, I'm going to, instead of reinventing the wheel, I'm going to read what Bertrand Comparé. Now, Bertrand Comparé, he spelt his last name as capital C-O-M-P-A-R-E-T. And a lot of people say, well, that's Comparette. Well, okay, in English it looks like Comparette, but it's a Frenchman's name, so it's Comparé, as Ella can attest to. In the French language, when it ends with an E and a T, it's pronounced A, so Comparé, got it? Anyway, this is his treatise on the soldier's ransom. Those entering the military service and their families naturally are worried over the dangers to be faced in battle. They should know that Yahweh has provided the defense against such dangers. The directions to receive his protection are in the Bible. There is no pacifism in the Bible because Yahweh has destined us to impose his will upon the world, a process which often requires war when wicked nations seek to blot out righteousness. Okay, I hope you guys are understanding. When nations, meaning peoples, such as in Jews, Zionist Jews who wish to rule the world. In Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 20, Yahweh says to our nation, meaning our race, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you will I break in pieces the nations, and with you will I destroy kingdoms. Now, when it says break in pieces the nations, it's talking about the various races. And destroy kingdoms, it's talking about countries. Okay, so there is a differentiation between peoples, such as Jews living in other lands, versus kingdoms. So if you go to Russia, particularly the Ukraine, it's loaded with Red Mafia Jews. Well, they're not Russians, they're Jews who happen to live in the kingdom of the Ukraine. But the nation, meaning the race that they belong to, is Judaism or Jews, and they are criminals. In fact, they are heinous criminals. No matter how the self-proclaimed intellectuals may scorn this duty, it is our inescapable destiny. We can do our part willingly in complete reliance on Yahweh's protection, and we shall prosper. Or we can be driven to do it unwillingly, like slaves under the lash, and accomplish our purpose at frightful cost. It is our destiny to perform it, and we shall. Recent efforts to abolish the draft and establish a mercenary army of professional volunteers is bad. The Bible never gave its approval for mercenary professional armies. For us, Yahweh's plan was universal registration and conscription. We find this law in Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and in Numbers chapter 26, verses 1 and 2. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, take you the sum of all the congregation of the children of Jacob Israel, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male, notice it says every male, no females in there, from 20 years old and upward. Uh-oh. Do you mean 18 and 19-year-olds being drafted is against God's law? Yeah, that's exactly what it means. All that are able to go forth to war in Jacob Israel, you and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Note this military service began at the age of 20. None were exposed to the hardships of war while they were immature boys. Exemptions from military service were few, and for 1 year only. These rules are found in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 5 through 9, and in Deuteronomy chapter 45, verse 5. One who had built a new house but had not yet occupied it, or who had planted a new vineyard and had not received a crop from it, and one who was engaged to be married or had been married less than 1 year, these received 1 year's exemption from military service. Now, take note of the marriage thing there. It was so the man had time to bond with his wife or wives, his wife, his newest wife, and establish his legacy through a child. They figured he had a year to bond with her and impregnate her so that he had an heir to whatever it was he had. See, that used to be important. In fact, it was even important in the 1950s because my dad tried to enlist for the Korean War, and he was refused. You know why he was refused? Because of me. Yeah, He had no heir, and my mom was pregnant with me. So I kept my father out of the Korean War. Might have saved his life. Who knows? All of his high school buddies that went down were drafted. But he was turned down because he was a young man, his wife was pregnant, and he had no other heir. So even in the 1950s, we still at least gave some semblance of loyalty to our Heavenly Father's rules and regulations. Military service was a moral duty for the Israelites. When the people of Jacob Israel were entering into the Promised Land, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh chose their inheritance in the lands east of the Jordan River. All the rest of the nation of Jacob Israel had to cross over the Jordan River and conquer the lands to the west of it. When it seemed possible that Reuben and Gad might want to stay in their lands while the other tribes had to continue the war without them, Moses sternly warned them, as it is recorded in the book of Numbers, chapter 32, verses 6 through 23. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, "Shall your brothers go to war, and you sit here? If you will go armed before Yahweh to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before Yahweh until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before Yahweh, then afterward you shall return and be guiltless before Yahweh and before Jacob Israel. And this land shall be your possession before Yahweh. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against Yahweh, and be sure your sin will find you out." There's a curse when you don't do things this way. Take a look around in our world today and tell me it's not cursed. Huh? Really? Is there anybody that doesn't know that we're cursed today? Why? Because we don't, again, Deuteronomy 28, 29, the blessings and the curses. Registration for conscription was a religious duty in times of national danger. However, it was not to be enforced only so the king could know how big his army was, merely for his own pride. King David ordered a registration out of his own vanity when there was no need for it. This was a sin on his part. However, the punishment fell on the whole nation because they obeyed the king. See right there? You're not always supposed to obey, quote, those in authority when they're out of line with our Father in heaven, when he commanded them to do what was sinful. This is told in detail in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 24. Yahweh's way to raise a conscription citizens' army and to give them protection amid the dangers of war is stated in Exodus, chapter 30, verses 12 through 16. When you take the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto Yahweh, other words called the soldier's ransom. This they shall give everyone that passes among them that are numbered, half a shekel. Half a shekel shall be the offering to Yahweh. Everyone that passes among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto Yahweh. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. When they give an offering unto Yahweh to make an atonement for their souls, and you shall take the atonement money of the children of Jacob Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Jacob Israel before Yahweh to make an atonement for their souls. The half shekel of the soldier's ransom was worth 33 cents in our money. Now, this is back when Bertrand Comparé wrote this in the 1960s. So it was no burden on the poor. The rich weren't able to make a display of their wealth to embarrass the poor by giving more. The importance of the act was that it was a declaration of faith in Yahweh, looking to Him for protection. Those who truly trust in Him, He does not fail. Yahweh's promise of protection is clear and strong. It is set forth most beautifully in Psalm 91, verses 1 through 11. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress. My Elohim God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. Can you say COVID? Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Notice this. Only with your eyes you will witness the reward of the wicked, because you have made Yahweh, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give His angels or messengers charge over you to keep you in all your ways. The Bible records that those who did offer the soldiers ransom in reliance upon Yahweh's instructions did receive His protection in battle. In Numbers chapter 31, it is recorded that an Israelite army of 12,000 men was sent against the Midianites. They annihilated the Midianite armies and burnt the Midianite cities, quite a devastating war. Upon the return of the Israelite army, we read, "And the officers which were over the thousands of the host, the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds, came near unto Moses. And they said unto Moses, Thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war which are under our charge, and there lacks not one man of us." So they routed a Midianite army, huge army, if I recall, and there was 12,000 men, and when they returned, they still had 12,000 men. There was a brigade in World War I, I believe it was the 91st Battalion or Brigade, that had a very similar thing happen in one of the bloodiest battles of World War I, and they all, to a man, said the 91st Psalm every day. And when they came out of that bloody battle, they took a number of their men, and they had not lost one. When other regiments and battalions had lost as much as 60% of their men. Amazing story. If you are thinking Yahweh was able to protect His soldiers against swords, spears, and arrows in ancient times, but wondering if He has the power to protect them against the terrible modern weapons, such as atomic bombs, if they exist, I tell you to have no doubts. He who created atoms is still their master, still able to give protection where needed. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, we have His promise, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, saith Yahweh." War, on a scale never seen before, must come in the near future. We're at it, folks. It is part of the battle of Armageddon and the great and terrible day of Yahweh. There is no escaping it, for it has been prophesied by Yahweh. When it comes, we must take our part in it. Yahweh has never required us to enter battle without offering protection to those who are loyal to Him and who claim His protection in sturdy faith. For those who are drafted into the armed forces, they and their families should seek their protection by offering the soldiers ransom. We have heard many reports of families who have done this, and their sons have returned safely from combat. You should also profit by their example. Take Yahweh at his word. Obey his instructions to offer the soldiers ransom. Have faith, and you will see the demonstration of Yahweh's power. A critical note by Clifton Emmaheiser: not only is the soldier's ransom necessary for those who are called to go to war for our country, but also for we who are fighting the battle with the seed of the serpent here at home. The battle we are in, disseminating the Jacob Israel identity message and identifying Jacob Israel's enemy, is just as dangerous as any war, and we can use all the protection from Yahweh that we can get. And I do not believe that it is necessary to do the soldier's ransom every time we turn around. Once in a lifetime for each war should be sufficient. And we used to do it quite often at the Feast of Tabernacles, back up in Ohio and Michigan and all when I lived up there. Again, when you pay your ransom, as Clifton made note of there, you don't have to do it all the time. Besides, the Feast of Tabernacles was once a year. But as a precaution, if we were going into combat, those of us, whether it was combat in a courtroom or combat on a battlefield, we would often go and do the ceremony of the soldier's ransom because we felt we wanted our Heavenly Father's protection. I know I've taken the soldier's ransom in front of a congregation at least three times in my life, and I did it for exactly as they're saying, because I wanted a Father's protection when I know he is the only protection that I've got. And quite frankly, he's the only protection any of us have at this point in history, as this insanity just gets worse day by day. I hope you're noticing that inflation is eating up your buying dollars power at the grocery store and elsewhere. Sometimes they don't charge more, they just give you less. That's a underhanded Jewish tactic to make you think you're getting the same thing for the same price. But if you check the weight of the product you're buying, you'll find that it has been diminished. A little bit like the Jewish shysters used to do when they clipped the coins. Every time silver coins would come across their tables, they would take a knife and take a little sliver of silver off of each coin, figuring nobody would notice, and at the end of the day, they have a nice little pile of silver. So they're doing the same thing with your precious economic system now by slicing a little bit out of the bag of chips or the bag of flour or the bag of potatoes. It doesn't weigh quite as much. So, yeah, you can buy the bag of potatoes for the same price that you could a couple months ago, but you're getting fewer potatoes. So in your mind, though, if you're not paying attention, you're thinking, oh, there's no inflation. Yeah, there is. Your buying power is going down, down, down. This is a communist takeover. I don't know how much plainer it can be said to you. The world... Zionist, communists, their end game is now. All the cards are on the table. All the chips have been pushed to the middle. So it's a question of, do you fight or don't you fight? You just let them walk all over you? You let them poison your children? You let them force you into the school system? You force them, they allow them to force you to put that poison in your body? You say, well, Dan, they might harm me. They might take my child. They might kill me. Well, if you put that shit in your body, what do you think is going to happen? It just takes longer. You're going to have to learn to take sides. I don't know how much plainer it can be said. You have to take sides. That's where we're at in the history of the world. You can choose to ignore it, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring it. It's going to come to your doorstep one way or the other. So pick sides. Pick sides. It's becoming quite evident that there was a reason the corporate America has been doing it for decades, and the government, of course, but most of your corporations and government agencies are run by the most incompetent, moronic people imaginable. That's why things are getting more and more chaotic, too. There's no intelligence or talent left in the middle management and upper management positions in government and in most corporations. They are ignoramuses. Now, some of us predicted this decades ago when we saw the trends. And it was about from the mid-1970s on up when they started bringing females into traditional male roles. I was in the Air Force when the first females were brought into the avionics maintenance squadrons. And us men, we just kind of stood around and it's like, what are you doing? Okay, first of all, we handled equipment that weighed, my transmitter weighed 150 pounds. I had six of them on every B-52 bomber. That's what I had to be able to climb up into that plane from underneath and drag that 150-pound transmitter to the back of the airplane and hand it down through a hole to my buddy on a ramp that had been lifted up like a scaffold. And I had six of them on every bomber. So you're going to hire a bunch of ladies to come out there. How many of you ladies think you can manhandle a electronic transmitter that weighs 150 pounds? Sorry, but not many of you can do that. There weren't even a whole lot of guys who could do it. I was fresh out of high school and college playing football, so I was big enough that I could do that, but it was a struggle even for me. So I can't imagine a nice frail little filly out there on that flight line at 110 degrees on the flight line and probably about 120 inside that black bomber trying to lug a 150-pound electronic box around. The point being, government and Jews, they don't care about disrupting. They want chaos. They want disruption of our military and our civilian institutions. They know damn well that women are not fit for that kind of duty, and there's even some men that aren't fit for it. We used to have standards. We had tests. We had to pass an aptitude test, and we had to pass a physical to be able to do that job. In 1975, they decided to throw all that away. They lowered the standards, they lowered the requirements, and next thing you know, here come the ladies, here come the minorities, and here come the white guys that couldn't pass the tests before. So basically, white trash. So what did that do for our shop? It meant the quality of our work went down. The amount of work that us white guys that knew how to do it went up because you just gave us a whole handful of new recruits that didn't know what the hell they were doing or were too weak to do what we did. Chaos. Absolute chaos. I went into the electrical generation industry after that, and sure enough, about 8 years later, they decided to do the same thing. Excuse me. The maintenance departments in most of your large electrical generating plants are almost all men back in the 70s and early 1980s. And because of the same reasons, it was dangerous. There's superheated steam all around you. There's radiation from the reactor. There's high pressure steam, high pressure water. There's flammable fluids, fuel oil, and other contaminants. There's dangerous gases like chlorine, things that can kill you. You make a mistake, you're dead. Besides the fact that there's electricity everywhere and high enough voltages and currents that it would kill you. So typically it was only men, and a lot of the men were military men, guys that had gotten out of the military. And sure enough, they did exactly what the Air Force did, and next thing you know, we got a bunch of ladies starting to come into it. a bunch of washed out white guys and minorities. And the same thing happened. Less qualified work is getting done. Management positions are starting to be filled, including engineering positions filled by incompetent people, because affirmative action meant more than doing the right thing. Well, look at the dystopic world that you live in today. That's where it comes from, okay? But who pushed for all that? Corporations did. Why? Because our corporation CEOs and vice presidents and whatnot all went to the same seminars, which were given by who? Yeah, those boys with small hats again, pushing the affirmative action. And now we're paying the price. So incompetence all around us. Everything that they have centralized, including religion, including schools, including medicine, including the media, centralization is a tool of the communists. Okay? It's a tool of the communists. And they have created a kakistocracy. That's a real word, kakistocracy. It's made up of two Greek words. It just means leadership or governance by the most incompetent of your people. Okay? Remember that. There's an actual word describing what we're seeing. Kakistocracy. Government by the least qualified of your people. So we got stupidity, certainly stupidity at the middle management positions, and quite a bit of stupidity even at the upper management. But they don't care. They don't care because the communists want us dumbed down and taken down. America's the last domino. And the white men who are armed and have any kind of testosterone left are the number one target because we're the ones that they fear the most. You know that, guys. If your brains still work and your other equipment still works, they're coming after you. Because they want to destroy us, because once we're out of the way, they can literally push all these other races around wherever they want them. And they know that. We're the threat. And certainly our ladies are no threat to them. They're not afraid of any females. And some of the ladies, you know, you might get offended by that, but come on. Have you ever been in a combat situation? Have you ever watched women in a combat situation? Okay. I could bring guests on here. My Navy buddy was in combat in Afghanistan. I've got other friends that have been in combat. They told me what happened. And again, this is why our Heavenly Father said to keep the army made of men. So we need to return to His law and turn our backs not on His law, but government law, man-made law. And as William Blackstone said so often, the law is made by men. If they go counter to Yahweh's law, then they have no effect whatsoever. That's a fact. No effect whatsoever. So again, as Peter says in the New Testament, if it's a choice between man's law and God's law, you must choose God's law. There is no middle ground. His law is superior to all man's law, all of it. So again, I hope you didn't mind the reading of the Soldier's Ransom, and it's that time of year again. Feast days, harvest time, and also be on your toes because of the fact we're coming up on the 11th here very soon. Let me see my calendar. When is the 11th? The 11th is Saturday, so that will be before the Sunday broadcast. If there's anything going to happen that I'm aware of, I will schedule a special broadcast before then. If not, then Sunday we'll see what happened on Saturday, won't we? But a lot of things going on and a lot of people waking up. again, the righteous are becoming more righteous and starting to feel their oats and starting to take a stand. That's good news. We still have an awful lot of our people, though, who are very apathetic and just amazingly docile about what's going on in this world today. It's truly a shame. But we do have a little bit of time here before I want to take off. my throat's getting a little sore. So if anybody has anything they want to report or call in about, you know, please, now is the time to do it. Again, this is your platform as much as it is mine. I bring to the table the things I've learned and what is being reported to me. And then, of course, you can bring what you're finding out yourself. Looking down through the notes here. Okay, nothing there I don't see. All right. So, again, it's time for our team to take to the field. The enemy's been running up and down that field, scoring points left and right. And as they score points, our freedoms disappear, our rights to raise our families as we see fit, our rights to dictate our health care, and our public servants have become our masters. They're our servants. Even in the organic documents of this country, it states that all power is inherent in we, the people. Okay? We create government just for a convenience. We don't need government, folks. We, the people, created government agencies for a convenience. They're not a necessity. And as Ronald Reagan said, government's not the solution. Government is the problem. It's always the problem. If you want worldwide terrorism to go away, get rid of the central governments. It'll go away. Guaranteed. If you want this phony, baloney, Babylonian money system that's sucking the life out of all of us to go away, get rid of your centralized government that gives them the right to rape us. So it all boils down to the beast, just as the book of Revelation talks about. The beast is government, folks. All government, all man-made government operates like a beast. A ravenous beast always on the hunt for new prey. You and I are the prey for these people. They don't give a crap about you, me, our children, our grandchildren, nothing. It's all about them staying in power, making their ill-gotten gain, and living the high life while they're sucking the lifeblood out of us. Okay? Start listening to what the book of Revelation is trying to tell you. And the good news is Yahweh's going to have his fill of this very soon, and the smoke of her destruction will rise very high, and the merchants will be weeping and wailing. Hallelujah. They need to weep and wail. They've been gone along with this way too long. So anyway, I don't see anything in the queue, so we're going to go ahead and close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and honor. We thank you for this time to share with our brothers and sisters. We just pray for all of our folks out there that are struggling and they're up against persecution and prosecution all over this insanity and this nefarious activity that's going on by these wicked and evil people. For the good folks out there that are praying to you, Father, and put their trust in you, we pray that you would lift them up and put a hedge of protection around them. For those folks who haven't come to that conclusion, we pray that their eyes would be open, that they would realize that we have to stick together as a family and we have to come underneath your tutelage if we have any hope to survive what's coming. We pray for your establishment of your kingdom and sitting upon your throne. We pray that you would vanquish the wicked upon this world and return it to the peaceful and prosperous land that it was from the beginning. It has become ugly, 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 ugly. We have destroyed so much, all because of our greed and avarice and turning our backs on you. We repent of that. We repent of kings and man's law. And we want to come back as our ancient ancestors did and just simply be your servants upon this world, lifting up your name and your law and applying your law to the wicked upon this earth. That way we can see prosperity and truth and justice for all of mankind when we're in obedience to you. Forgive us our sins, Father Yahweh. Watch over us and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.